Right, so now we have traveled back in time to the year 1 AD. Jesus is standing at the Sea of Galilee. So let's imagine that we have come from Galilee. We've traveled to come and hear Jesus speak, all right? So we're amongst the crowd this morning. There's a gentle breeze. There are a few thin clouds in the sky. The sun is shining down gently on us. It's a beautiful morning. In the distance, there may be some sounds of birds and fishermen preparing their nets and their boats for fishing later today. And Mark chapter 3, verse 7 says, there's a great multitude from Galilee making up the crowd. We've come from Galilee. There are people from Judea too, from Jerusalem, from Sidon, from Edom, going by their accents, people from beyond the Jordan River, from as far afield as the vicinity of Peckham, from Tyre and Sidon, and even from Spain, all around us. We've been hearing what Jesus has been doing, and we've walked a few miles to see him. We can see it for ourselves too. When we arrived, Jesus was touching people and healing them of their sicknesses. When he touched them, demon-possessed people were being set free from unclean spirits. And then a little bit later, we saw some of his close followers push him out onto the sea in a boat because the crowds were pressing around him so he could have a bit of space to sit and speak. So we found a grassy bank. Maybe it's a bit prickly. Maybe we're sitting on stones. But we're listening to Jesus speak, and soon we begin to forget our discomforts. We're just enjoying what Jesus is saying. He's been telling us some stories about the kingdom of God. We don't quite know what he means by some of them. He's been talking about a merchant who wanted to buy a pearl, a rare pearl, and he sold everything he has. We've been hearing about a fisherman who pulls up lots of fish and throws away some of them. We don't quite know what that means. But now he's talking about a farmer. That's a story we can relate to. On our way here, we passed some fields. One of them had a farmer who was carefully walking along a narrow path with a long stick. He was making holes in the ground on either side of the path. They're just rough pieces of land with weeds and stones in them. But the farmer's finding soft soil for holes. And we have seen how the farmer, he's holding a bag, a fabric bag full of seeds, and he's carefully throwing the seeds onto those holes, onto those spaces where the soil is soft. But of course, no matter how carefully he sows the seeds, some fall on the path that he's walking on, some fall on the rocks and the weeds. We understand the story. So now we can come back to the land of 3T. Let's press our time machine buttons, make the sound, and move back to the chair we were sitting in before. All right, children, are you ready? Press your buttons of your time machine. 1, 2, 3. Whoop, 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 whoop. And back to your seat. All right, so that picture of a farmer that Jesus was talking about, it's a much tougher farming experience than perhaps we have a picture of. Back in those times, and still in poorer places around the world, people make holes with sticks. They can't afford metal for a plow. It's too expensive. And so we have this picture of beautifully plowed fields, don't we, when we think of farming techniques. But back then, it was a rough patch of land. So the farmer would sow the seeds. Some would fall in the hard soil of the pathway. The birds would perhaps be waiting to pick up the seeds to eat them. Some would fall on the rough and the rocky topsoil. The seeds don't have a chance to really get root. They begin to sprout, but when the sun rises, they shrivel away. They're not able to reach the nourishment of the deeper soil. And finally, some seeds landing among the weeds, where they might stand a chance of growing, and they grow up with the weeds, but they don't really get the nutrients from the soil because the weeds are stealing the nutrients of the soil. So they grow, but they don't grow healthily. they not able to bear fruit on their own. Would we have understood the story that Jesus was saying? Perhaps we would have wanted to. This man who is healing everyone, who's driving out the demons, we might want to understand the truth behind this power. Perhaps we guess that the seed that he talks about is like the many people that are here, and the many stories that he's telling, and the many people are the different types of soil. But you know, today we have the privilege of reading about Jesus' own explanation for this parable that he told his disciples when the crowd went away. And that's the beauty of having the Bible, you know. The Bible is just full of Jesus' stories. And we don't just glimpse bits and pieces of it as and when we're able to see Jesus. We can read the whole thing. So let's look for a few minutes at Jesus' explanation that he gives the disciples later. Let's remember as well that Jesus refers to the soil in other Gospels as the soil of the heart. And this is referred to in Matthew 13, verse 18, by the way, if you want to look. And so just as the farmer desires, when the seed falls on the good soil, there's something that happens as that seed begins to germinate. It all happens beneath the ground. Eventually, that seed is strong enough to burst out of the ground. Anyone who's had an allotment or a vegetable patch, do you remember the joy and the excitement of waiting for seeds to peek out above the ground? And then after a week or two, one day, you suddenly see little bits of green coming out. Isn't that an exciting moment? And you know, that seed might have a few days without rain. It might have lots of sun shining on it, but because it is growing and taking root in good soil, it survives. It carries on growing. So today we must ask ourselves, how good is the soil of my heart? Have we cleared it of hardness? Have we cleared it of the rocks and the weeds that Debbie was talking about earlier? Have we heard what God has been doing and saying in church services or from people around us? Are the birds like the devil just going to snatch that seed away the minute we hear it? Are we just going to dismiss the preaching or the testimonies that we've heard and the miracles that we've seen? Or else, do we still have some rocks in our heart so that when we hear the word of God to us and we see that God is what God is doing, we get excited and we want to grow? So that seed starts to take root and grows for a few weeks. But then someone we really admire at work or someone at school says to us, oh, that Christianity is rubbish. You know, that this business about God and heaven and hell, there's no evidence for it. And so the heat of that criticism makes our seed shrivel up. And suddenly we begin to doubt, all right, what's it all about? And because that seed hasn't grown strong enough in us, and our knowledge hasn't expanded, our revelation and our faith in God hasn't expanded and grown, it just shrivels up. Or finally, when we've heard the word of God and we've allowed it to grow, and it's growing pretty healthily in us, the seed has taken root, we've sprouted and we're growing, but as we grow, we're allowing other unproductive things to grow up alongside us. Perhaps our worry about the economy and the future is stealing our joy and the nutrients of the Word of God around us. Perhaps there are things that we're not prepared to live without, such as some people, you know, want to always have the latest phone, the latest car model. And so we allow our work to completely consume our lives and our energy. And so we put in extra hours so that we can afford the lifestyle that we think we deserve. But are we growing? Are we becoming plants that grow seeds? And are we reproducing that seed that was first planted in our hearts? Now, the people of Jesus' time would not just have seen this as a pretty story. they would have recognized that this is a story about survival. This is a story about a father or a husband providing for his family. He would have been thinking about the winter months when food might have been scarce or hard times. He would have been preparing a seed for the next harvest as well. It's about having preparation, being prepared. Have we prepared the soil of our hearts? The good news is that it's never too late to work on the soil of our hearts. As Debbie said, we can all always do some gardening. If we're feeling hard, maybe we need to remind ourselves of some of the stories that we've heard. Some of, you know, there's some incredible books on testimonies by missionaries in other countries where incredible miracles happen. Let's remind ourselves of some of those things. Let's take note of the way that God changes people's lives, healing them and setting them free. Also, let's build our knowledge of the Bible and try to discover the answers to some of the difficult questions. If we're still feeling a little bit rocky in our faith, let's get rid of the rocks so that we can withstand the heat of the sun and persecution by growing deeper roots. And finally, let's do some weeding. If the worries of life and the desires of things are stopping us from growing fruitfully, then we need to recognize them and try to make space in our lives for that seed of faith to grow healthily and to start to reproduce into fruit. Now, the good news, finally, is that God doesn't leave us to do this gardening work on our own. Because I know that when I became a Christian, when I was younger, I couldn't have done it on my own. But the Holy Spirit was doing it in me. He cleared away the soil, and those things in my heart that were restricting the seed from growing. First, I heard about miracles, and then I had Christian friends who were so completely different from my other friends that I wanted to have what they had. And then when I heard the Word of God for the first time, my heart was ready to receive it. And I'd like us just to reflect on this passage by Jesus as he departed and he left this with his disciples. It's from John 14. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. So that's the Holy Spirit who is in us, helping us. If anyone loves me, Jesus said, he will keep my word. If we love God, if we love Jesus, we will keep that word in us. We won't let it shrivel up and be stolen. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. You know, and that's not something the world wants to give us. The world doesn't want to give us peace. It wants to keep us unsettled, always unsatisfied and wanting more or wanting something else. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.